This morning, I invite you to turn to the book of Hebrews with me, Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to read verses 1 through 3 of Hebrews chapter 12. So Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 1, the Word of God says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Amen. So we have all witnessed ballerinas or figure skaters doing some amazing spins. And we've wondered out loud, how do they do that, spin around like that, and not get dizzy? Well, I'm told that there is a special technique that they use called spotting. This is where the artist or the athlete picks a spot in their environment and they focus on that particular spot in that area that they keep turning to. Even though their bodies are quickly spinning around, they also spin their heads to always come back to that particular spot again and again and again. And it's thought that that spotting gives them a visual stability to keep them from getting dizzy as they swirl around. The visual cue here helps them to keep from falling over, basically. But in addition to that, of course, is the daily practice, lots and lots of it. And they also tell us, scientists do, that perhaps the brain begins to rewire itself in the spinning. But they still use this particular technique of focusing on a particular spot. And as I continue these last three messages of Pastor to the People, again, I want to share from my heart words of encouragement, words of appreciation, and words of admonition as I transition from being your senior pastor. And last week, we looked at things we celebrate as a church. I celebrate about our church, and I encourage you to excel still more in. And today, I want to talk about the focus our church needs going forward, a focus I really believe needed to keep you grounded and to keep you from being distracted and getting dizzy in a very confused world. And that focus is captured in a phrase, you've heard me say it a lot in many different circumstances in different areas of ministry. And that focus is captured in one sentence, one phrase, and that is, eyes on Jesus. In different circumstances and times, I always come back to that. We must keep our eyes on Jesus. That is clearly emphasized here on God's Word. The author of Hebrews emphasizes eyes on Jesus, to look at him in every and all circumstances. Notice he says in verse 2, we must fix our eyes on Jesus. The word fix there means to stare at intently. It's the idea of your spotting. Stare at it intently, the eyes on Jesus. So I want to encourage you today and admonish you as a church to keep your eyes on Jesus. I want to talk about what it means to have our eyes on Jesus. How can we keep our eyes on Jesus? And finally, what will it take in 2021 to keep our eyes on Jesus? Now, the author talks about eyes on Jesus here in the context of a metaphor, an example of running a race. Notice he says the eyes are on Jesus as we run the race that is set before us, verse 1. See, the idea here is that once you become a Christian, you set your course to honor and follow and please and obey and reflect Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Your whole life is to pursue a life that is pleasing to Him. And that's a general call to godliness for every Christian. But there's also a race, a specific course that I believe God unfolds before us for each of us in the particular details of our lives for Jesus. In other words, there's a sense of my course that God has laid out for me. This is my race. I've thought a lot about this lately, my course for me, my race, as I transition out of the pastorate. I felt a call to be a pastor since the time I was saved at age 14. I've reflected a lot on what Paul writes in Acts 20:24, but I do not consider my life as of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of God's grace. I have prayed so much that I would finish my course well as your pastor. I've often reflected on the words of a song I heard years ago by Jeff Moore in the Distance called When All Is Said and Done. And the words go like this. Will they say I loved my family? That I was a faithful friend? That I lived to tell of God's great Son? When all is said and done. I have longed to run this race well with you, to finish the course when all is said and done. And each and every one of us wants to be able to say that. But the way to say that, I believe, is to have a focus on Jesus, eyes on Jesus. What does it mean to have eyes on Jesus? What does it mean to have eyes on Jesus? It means to be centered on Christ. It means to be centered on Christ. The focus, again, is on Jesus. He is our Savior, our instructor, our enabler, our example, our foundation for every action, every activity, every achievement, every arrangement of our lives. Jesus is to be the hub and the center of our lives. Over the years in my devotional time, I always make sure that during that week, I always spend some time in the Gospels, looking at the life of Jesus, listening to the teachings of our Lord Jesus. The focus is to be individually and collectively on Jesus as a church. The church, this church, is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And yes, we have programs and practices and ministries and preferences and methods. But the ultimate reason the church exists is to lift up, exalt, proclaim, and to preach Jesus, the Savior, who died for our sins, rose again, lives again, to redeem us back to God, who rules over us as the kingdom of God, as sons and daughters who follow Him. As Paul says, we as the church are to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God, to take in that grace and to hold out that love and grace to the people around us. The church must be centered on the gospel, the message of Jesus. We live in a world with so many distractions, so many causes, some of them that the church should rightly take up, like standing against abortion and holding up biblical morality, fighting for racial justice. That's good to do. Ideas and ideals that we should focus on. But like the ballerina, when the world spins around us, we need our spot to keep coming back to. And that is eyes on Jesus. How can we lift Him up to the world? So eyes on Jesus means that our focus on Christ alone is the most important part of the church. Jesus said in John 12:32, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. Over the years, I've gotten many calls, and we have been referred to as a faith-based institution. People call and say, you're a faith-based institution. I don't really like that term. We are not just a faith-based institution. And even though we participate in good causes and helping people, some we do, some we don't, the real issue is, are we a church focused on Jesus? Do we lift him up? And so ultimately, our eyes on Jesus is to center everything, as Paul says, that he, Jesus, might have first place in everything. Eyes on Jesus. The second point I want to look at this morning is, how can we keep the church's eyes on Jesus? How can the church keep its eyes on Jesus? Well, first of all, by remembering that focus from the past. Remembering that focus from the past. Someone said that forgetting your history is like trying to plant cut flowers. We must not forget the rich history of the roots of our church. I don't know if you recognize it or not, but our church has been a family of God now for 112 years. That's amazing. Especially in the Western United States, 112 years. We are a church built on the faith and legacy of those who've gone before in faith. They had their eyes on Jesus. In this chapter, the author refers to past people of faith that they are encouraged by. Notice he talks about in chapter 11, those in Israel's history, men and women who celebrated their eyes on God, their focus on God. And he refers to people like Abel and Enoch and Sarah and Abraham and Moses and David. And so when he begins chapter 12, he talks about this great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. He's not talking about a literal crowd but that are gathered now to watch us, but rather the saints who have gone before and whose example lives on to inspire us in our faith. Their legacy remains as a reminder for us to keep our eyes on God as they did. And we as a church family have a remarkable legacy of those who have gone before as examples of faith, and they had their eyes on Jesus. One of those people is a woman named Mrs. Pease. Mrs. Pease was a local farmer's wife living in a little township called Eustick back in 1907. It was called Eustick after a guy named Dr. Eustick, who was a homeopathic doctor who raised apples in that area. Mrs. Pease lived on what is now the corner of Eustick and Cloverdale Roads. And in 1907, she decided to gather a bunch of children together to have a Christian Sunday school in a fruit packing house on Eustick Road. Then she decided, well, that's not enough. We need to build a church. We need a church. So she surveyed the area looking for the peoples that would want a church. And even though she was Methodist, she found mostly Baptists. And so in 1908, she and others founded the First Baptist Church of Eustick. And from there, there was a cloud of witnesses that kept focusing on Jesus. They were Christians who loved Jesus and went through some tremendous struggles. They endured World War I. They went through the Spanish flu in 1918 that killed so many. They survived the Great Depression, World War II, social upheavals, unrest, economic downturns, the fear of nuclear war. These are saints with their eyes on Jesus. These are the saints who saw the original brick building from 1908 burned to the ground in the 1950s. Some years ago, I met a woman in our church named Venda Johnson, and she says she was a young child living at the end of the street where the church was when the fire came in the 1950s, and she recounts a boy running as the fire began down the street, pointing to the church and saying, "Holy smoke!" True story. Those very saints, though, didn't stop with the ashes of that church building. They built again, sacrificing so much to do so. In my time here, I've had the privilege of working and was serving with so many wonderful servants of Christ. Those who spent at least 10 years building these church facilities that we moved into in 2002. Those who have endured staff changes and ministry changes, times of upheaval, disagreements, disappointments. I have done funeral after funeral after funeral of incredible saints of Jesus here as a cloud of witnesses. And I have so often said of them, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." So friends, it behooves us, and I urge you, don't forget how we have built on the faith, the shoulders of so many who have gone before in the legacy of 112 years of those who had their eyes on Jesus. However, as rich as that legacy is, it must not limit us for what's now or what's next. So even as we remember their focus on the past on Jesus, we must also realize that focus for the present. Realize that focus for the present. Our eyes today need to be on Jesus now more than ever, especially in light of what we've gone through last year in COVID-19. I can safely say, certainly, this has been one of the most difficult years I have ever been through as a pastor. But not just me. Every one of you, as you've struggled with jobs, losses, disruptions, trying to handle the education of your children, family separations, quarantines, loneliness, isolation, loss of loved ones to the disease, changes of your plans, we have lost so much. It has been an incredibly difficult year to try to do ministry as a staff. Not to mention the strain and the disagreements on us of how the church handles protocols with this disease safely. And add to that the search for a new pastor. Sorry about that. So if there ever was a time that we need our eyes on Jesus, realize the focus for the present. But thirdly, we must also be reaching for that focus for the future. To reach out to that focus for the future. I want you to know that as I transition as your pastor, remember, there are great things ahead for this church. I truly believe that God has amazing blessings to pour out on you. His work is not done here. His good pleasure is going to be done. I believe that you will have fresh vision and approaches to you seeking to put your eyes on Jesus, to reach this culture for Christ. I believe that you will date the methods of ministry and change where needed, but you will marry the message of the gospel and the focus on Jesus. Jesus said that the wineskins change, but the wine does not. I pray, church, that you'll be encouraged to be open to get the message of Christ out and to deepen your walk with Jesus in this new year, to not be prisoners of saying we always done it this other way, but look for new ways to run the race, but again, with eyes on Jesus. The focus is not on a program. It's not on this wonderful building. It's not on preferences. It's not on activities as ends in themselves. It's not on a pastor or another leader. But again, the eyes are on Jesus. As verse 2 says, he's the author and perfecter of our faith. The word author there means originator and source of faith. And the word perfecter means he is the completer or the finisher of our faith. As one author said, Jesus enables us to complete what he enables us to begin. Our eyes are on Jesus as the one who gives us faith and keeps us in the faith and makes us people of faith. He will complete the work he has begun in us and make us more into his image. Jesus will be there. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not stand against it. Jesus, who is always and will be our blessed hope and present help in every part of our lives. So, beloved, keep running the race as a church with eyes on Jesus. But finally, I want to look at what will it take, though? How do I do that? What will it take to keep my eyes on Jesus? And there's two things the author identifies, what it'll take to keep our eyes on Jesus. One is parting with encumbrances and sin. Parting with encumbrances and sin. The author here speaks of running the race, verse 1, by laying aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Again, picture the ballerina, picture the figure skater spinning, but they lose their focal point. They start looking elsewhere. What happens? They will begin to become distracted, and they will stumble, and they will fall. We can become spiritually distracted from our eyes on Jesus by looking at other things that affect us and keep us from following Christ. The author refers to these in verse 1 as encumbrances. Encumbrances. The word there means weight, impediment, hindrance, or something that holds us back. And again, think of the metaphor of running a race. This makes sense. You would not run a race with a 50-pound pack on your back or heavy clothing or carrying weights, unless you're in the military training, I guess. When you run track, you run as light as you can. And the thought is that there's many things that can distract us and weigh us down to keep our focus off of Jesus. One of those is focusing on worry. I love this story in Luke 10 of Mary and Martha. Remember the story where Jesus goes to their house and Martha is running around in a good way trying to feed Jesus. That's a good thing. But Jesus says to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things." Isn't that true of our lives? You're worried and bothered about so many things. But then he commends the sister Mary, who is sitting at his feet, and says, "Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." What's she doing? She's got her eyes on Jesus. That's her focus. Don't be distracted by focusing on material things. Don't get distracted by focusing on good causes and miss the best cause of lifting up Jesus. Don't focus on differences, but those things that unite us. Focus not on the negative, but the positives that God has in his church. We must be willing to let go of these encumbrances that take our eyes off Jesus, to let go. I'm reminded of a story of a couple of guys who were moose hunters in Maine. They chartered a light airplane to carry them into the woods, and the pilot told him he'd be back in a few days, but he warned them, "I've got a small airplane. I can only take you and one medium-sized moose." They ended up bagging two large prize moose. And despite the pilot's warnings, they stretched their prize moose across their laps, even as the pilots told them not to. So they took off. Predictably, they could barely get off the ground. They lumbered into the air, but the weight of the animals was beginning to pull the plane down. And so as they got to a ridge, the pilot says, "Get rid of the moose, throw them out." But they refused to let go. They crashed. But the two moose cushioned their fall. They survived. One hunter said, "Where are we?" And the second hunter looked around the crash site and said, "Well, I think we're about a mile further than last year." Are we willing to let go of any encumbrance that takes our focus off Jesus? He also goes on to say, but we must also let go of the sin which so easily entangles us. That's a great word. It means to ambush, to encircle, or to trap us. What he means is that there's sin that not just distracts us, but keeps our eyes off Jesus because it entraps us. We must set aside our sins daily to confess, to run the race. But we must also look around our church at all times to guard against sin in the church. I remember one of our elder meetings some years ago as we gathered, and one of the elders began to pray, "Lord, help the pastor, me, not to do anything to embarrass your church." What a sobering reminder to keep our eyes on Jesus. Pray for one another. Pray for your leaders to not be entangled in sin. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11:3, to not be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. To keep our eyes on Jesus. The Living Bible paraphrases this, "Let us strip off anything that slows us down or holds us back, and especially those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around our feet to trip us up." To let go of those things, to keep our eyes on Jesus. But finally, what it takes to keep our eyes on Jesus is the word perseverance. Perseverance. The word is used here in verse 1, only it's translated endurance. It can be translated either way. But he says, let us run with endurance. The word means to bear up under, to be patient, or steadfast. Again, to persevere. In chapter 10, he used it to describe us as we have need of endurance. The opposite of endurance or perseverance is quitting, giving up. As someone who does not like to run, that's me, my favorite part of running is stopping. Yet God's admonition here is to persevere, even as we are tempted to quit, realizing that quitting is always easier than staying. As C.S. Lewis once said, the only fatal flaw is to give up. And as you move forward as a church, and I step aside, I urge you, friends, don't give up in the race ahead. It's very interesting that the word race in the Greek, the word is agon. And so our English word agony comes from the word race. The race ahead is hard, tough, and rough at times. And so I urge you, church, to not quit. Don't be discouraged and abdicate what God's calling you to do and be in the church in the years ahead and the weeks ahead and the days ahead. Now is not the time to withdraw. Now is the time to rally to your church. Now is the time to join in with continued financial support and prayer support, attending worship, even if it's online, serving where you can, joining where you can in Bible studies. Now is the time. Again, I look back at the history of our church. They went through much more tougher and more difficult times than I have in 32 years, and yet they persevered, and they kept their eyes on Jesus. What got them through was they fixed their eyes on Jesus. As verse 3 says, they considered him who endured such hostility by sinners against himself. As they did in verse 2, they remembered Jesus who endured the cross, so that verse 3, you will not grow weary and lose heart. You look to Jesus who went through what he did for us, and we keep running. As the church goes forward, another 112 years, if the Lord tarries, I don't know, but it must do so with perseverance. Perseverance. Some years ago, there was a movie that came out, a really great animated movie called A Bug's Life. And if you remember that movie, there's some ants carrying food in a line when suddenly a leaf falls and breaks the line. And the ant in front panics and says, "We're going to die. We're going to be stuck here forever." Then the foreman ant comes to the rescue. And in a clipped English accent, he says, "Don't panic. We will go around the leaf." And then he tells the lead ant, "Just follow me. Don't look around. Just keep your eyes on me." And he leads the ants around the leaf, and they go on. This is not a message of one ant to another, but pastor to the people. And the message is not, nor has it ever been, eyes on me, nor ultimately the leader to come. But rather the admonition that if you haven't remembered anything else of 32 years with you, please remember this. Beloved church, eyes on Jesus. Eyes on Jesus. Pray with me. Father, I thank you that we can put our eyes on Jesus and trust in you. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that what we are about as a church is to follow him. And I pray, God, that that will be the rallying cry in all of our lives, in our individual race and in the race of the church, that we truly would be looking unto Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.